Quack,
Aaron C. Schroeder.
That is right, Aaron.
And I'm Aaron C. Schroeder.
That is right. Once again, that is Aaron C. Schroeder coming from not his basement.
New suburb.
That is right. Where are you? Tell us your location.
Destination unknown, sir.
There you go.
Location here. The universe.
I'm out on the
Kitsap Peninsula.
Wow. It must be beautiful there.
It's pretty tales. Okay.
Okay.
Are you retired?
Me?
Yes.
No, not yet. Not until we win a national championship.
Well, when that happens, you should move out to the Kitsap Peninsula because it is great for retirees.
Absolutely. Aaron, I'd like to start off by reading a review that a kind person gave us on Apple Podcast, which everyone should be doing. Take the time, y'all. Go to Apple Podcast. Go to Quack 12. Yes, Apple blows, but it helps
get
seen. And I just got to read this. This is from Tales of Derp, left on October 29th. Okay. Gave us a 5-star review. Overall, we're doing pretty good. We got 80 reviews, 4.8 rating. That's pretty dang good.
That's not bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's what they said. Quack. I've loved this pod for years. It's such a casual, fun way to look at Oregon football. And I love that we're still looking at the old Pac teams.
Mm-hmm.
I was compelled to write this 5-star review because the latest episode referenced one of the greatest and most underrated sports movies of all time.
Cutting Edge.
Celtic Pride.
Oh.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Yeah.
That's a full review.
I'm pretty sure you mean Celtic Pride.
Celtic Pride. Yeah, I guess Celtic Pride.
Obviously shows that I was the one that brought it up.
Yeah, yeah. We know ball.
It is such a good movie, dude.
We should review it, maybe. We got asked to review that, and then we got asked to review The Beekeeper by my dear friend Adam.
Beekeeper, don't know this one.
Has nothing to do with sports or anything. I think I brought it up for a second. It's a Jason Statham movie.
Oh, Jason Statham, you say?
Jason, just a bit of this Jason Statham, ain't it?
He's got a bit of the wibble wobble, he does.
Bit of the Queen's English, ain't it?
So that movie is absolutely insane. Like, it's actually hard to explain. It's like he keeps bees, sure, but also he's like, I guess, like a hitman.
Sure. I'm sure he uses the bees as weapons.
And at one point they're fighting like at the White House / Epstein,
as you do.
Epstein Island.
No way.
All in one.
No way.
It's a weird combo. Not quite Epstein Island, but Epstein Island coded. Isn't everything, though, nowadays?
What we got here? A bunch of underages.
Oh, God. Oh, God. We love to laugh, don't we?
We love to laugh.
The Quack 12 Podcast. I don't know why I said that, but it's the name of the show. And we are here to cover what was, honestly, in my opinion, a pretty memorable, awesome win over the Iowa.
Fascinating.
Hawkeyes.
A fascinating win. I watched a quick reprise of the game. I did not get to see it in its entirety.
Oh, Aaron, you missed out. I mean, you're not here necessarily to watch the game, so it's not really your role here.
Right.
What exactly would you say you do?
I don't know anymore. It's been a while since I've really had to do anything. I don't know. Show up. Hey, just like our offensive line, I show up.
You show up. Well, not all of them, because Harkey was out. Like, let's get into this.
Yeah, get into it, because there was some injuries coming into it, right?
So already, I thought, like, to start off, I was nervous. But in the end, like, the thing I kind of kept telling myself was, it's probably going to be a defensive-led game, and whether we knew going into it was going to be bad, and Iowa has one way they play the game of football, win or lose.
Right, I remember that.
And it was the game, they're pretty dang good at making it so you play that game. Even if you blow them out, a lot of times it's like you still kind of
have to play by their rules, basically.
Exactly. So I already knew that going into it. But my line in my head, and when I was telling yokels, like our listeners here, was being like, well, even if it's going to be that kind of game, we're just such a more talented team. Like, our defense is more talented and, dare I say, better. And our offense, though they have been struggling, and I'm sure they were going to struggle in this game, overall, there is net more talent, and there's just going to be a few big plays because of that talent. That'll be the difference. But then, the night before it is, you know, it's probably known well before this, but the night before, and this is coming off a bye week, sometimes those pesky bye weeks, like sometimes the rest is not doing you any good.
Here's what I understand before we get into the factualizations. My truth is that
speak it.
Hithloday was on last week.
It's true.
His second time this season. It was also the first time was also a bye week, which when we came back, we lost that game. And then after the second time that Hithloday came on, all of a sudden we have key players that are just not in the game. Both games also rained.
Yep.
And so here's saying. This is 100% Hithloday's fault.
It's Hithloday's
fault. If nobody agrees with me, well, you're living in sin, brothers.
Hithloday injured those men. And those men too.
With his mind grapes.
It was some of this may have been like injuries they've been dealing with. Some of them may have been injuries that they suffered against Wisconsin. I know with DeCorian Moore, it sounds like, and he's being pretty vague about all these things, there's some kind of leg injury and it was in practice.
Sure.
And so DeCorian Moore, so suddenly our number one receiver is out. And, you know, like uber talented freshman pass catcher, like so that was exactly the kind of talent advantage I was thinking of, as well as Kenyon Sadiq out. Yeah. And we had seen him getting beaten up over the past couple of weeks.
See, that's
in the Rutgers game.
Yeah, that's the other thing is like we're deep into the season that this is when the injuries pop up.
Yeah.
So it is a testament to our bench, I guess, that we were still able to.
Both of that was rough. Jaden Lamar still beaten up, but luckily, like running back is truly like all season we've been saying we're so freaking deep. And knock on wood, but you know, so hopefully that wasn't going to hold us too back. But the thing that really scared me already, we're saying offensive line is a little bit of a liability, or like there's a lot of right tackle. So pretty freaking crucial. Right tackle Alex Harkey out. That is horrifying, man. That is so bad. So I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go into this game assuming that we're gonna maybe lose a close one. Because that's just exactly what.
And it's like this is not one of those games that should be on that list where you're like, ooh,
Well, like, at least Iowa was ranked when we played them. That was nice to see because, like, you know, this is like Northwestern or something like that. Someone who's like, we should still walk away handedly beating them. But so instead, at right tackle, we had Janoris Wilson, who had that amazing touchdown catch and dance against Wisconsin. But, you know, is a redshirt sophomore, not as tuned. And there were many times that we saw he was a little slower on the get up, like the pass rush was getting through him a little bit quicker. And then when he tried to adjust, there's like a false start. So for a minute, it looked like, oh, boy. And to make things a little bit worse, this one, when I was thinking like, okay, we're just so fucked. Gary Bryant, our other sure receiver, probably like, you know, if you're taking Kenyon out and you're taking DeCorian Moore, he's right. The next guy. He gets injured and needs to be like
in this game, right?
In this game, in the first
quarter. Was that a knee thing? That's what it looked like.
Yeah,
it looked like. Having gotten to see the Insta plays of stuff.
Yeah.
Quick cap.
It looked like a lower body injury. We don't really know who's going to be here for the game this Friday. Okay. It's a shorter week, too.
Against that Minnesota. Was my, yeah. That was my next question, is if we already knew who was going to still be out.
We don't really know. Will, right. I mean, Dan Lanning.
Find out on game day.
Yeah. We'll freaking find out. It's this Friday, too. Luckily, it's a home game. That should make a big difference. But so back to this game, I was like, okay, like things are looking rough, you know. But fortunately, in the first couple of Iowa drives, a crucial thing happened. I think some people are making a little too big of a deal of it because a crucial thing regardless happened that really helped us win this game and helped set the tone. Is first of all, Iowa gets the ball. They punt it. Even when they're punting the ball, it's a pretty bad snap. And the punter, to their credit,
yeah,
is able to collect it and boot it. Like, it was pretty freaking close, though. So the Ducks start, like, really good, like, basically at the 50-yard line. And what we were talking about with Hithaday is that sometimes our OC, Will Stein, and, you know, Dan Lanning in his own way, they get too cute. And against this team, you really should just like take what they're going to give you. Cause you know, if you do that enough and then get a big play here or there, you're probably going to win this game. We start in pouring rain. This ain't Austin Stadium. This actually rains in Kinnick Stadium. It's pouring rain. We throw the ball three times and three incompletions. And it really was like, it was to pretty sure catchers, but that were just like, you know, Malik Benson, Noah Whittington, McClellan, who kind of had a rough game, honestly. All of them are unable to even catch the ball. And these were short passes. And it was just due to like probably a little bit of nerves and such, but also just like it was fucking raining. It was raining so hard. And it really made you think like, God damn, I wish one of those was a run. So we have to punt the ball. And then fortunately, RD rules / Iowa's offense really, really, really stinks, if I'm being real. And so then they have to punt again. So it's going to be a punt thing. But snaps like this long snap could not have been worse.
Right.
Way over the punter's head. And again, to their credit, this could have been a touchdown for the Ducks.
Well,
it was just a
save. Oh,
could have been a touchdown, dude.
Okay, because I was sitting there thinking, because when you have hindsight of the whole game, especially when all I saw was the quick play of all of it, we got two, and then we were the next to score, giving us 9.
Yeah.
And it almost made me wonder, was it worth them also losing those 2 points, because they would have been up by 3 at the end of the game, which means our field goal.
See,
right, and our field goal would have tied it at that point. So it's like, would it have been smarter just to go ahead and give them that touchdown instead? But they were probably we still would have scored that next touchdown anyways, right? Because
if we stop them, we win. So
right,
that's better. And again, their offense is the weak side of the ball for them.
Maybe you could explain this then too, because I was thinking about that. In regards to the fact that they also make you play their style of game.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they
do that?
Yeah. How do they make you play their style of game if they're off when it's just bad?
Well, because their offense, like they're always playing it like close to the chest. Like the goal is we're not going for like these riskier down the field passes. Like if we pass, we a lot of times want to do like a quick slant or a screen or something like that. Like something that's like higher percentage. Also, we're running the ball with our QB and our running backs. And, you know, it'd be awesome if this broke away for a huge score, but like,
we're as long as we keep getting 3 or 4 yards,
moving it down. If we need, like, if it gets down to like 4th and 4, a lot of times for Oregon, we're probably going for that.
Yeah.
A lot of times for them, they're like, let's play the field position game. We're going to punt. Always rely on your like defense first.
So they're a real endurance based game.
Yeah.
They're real like, old we're here. School. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it completely almost worked. I mean, they had the lead at the end. Like, this is the kind of game that they're, it's like, if they want to upset a team who has a talent advantage, which is kind of like what they're built to try to do. Yeah. And if you don't have a talent advantage, then if they get up by 2 touchdowns, it's just like, it's game over. Cause it's like, they're going to be so freaking conservative. That being said, like Mark Gronowski, their quarterback, who like came into this season, they're like, okay, we've had some bad to mediocre quarterback play, even in our best seasons. But this guy, he's coming up, you know, and he was really good at the lower level. He's going to be awesome. Still kind of stinks, if I'm being real. Like, almost beat us, almost won the game for him. But, I mean, he was 10 of 18, 138 yards, and 1 touchdown. Technically, you could say he basically almost did better than Dante Moore. I mean, Dante Moore had better passes and in the end won the game. Mm-hmm. And like got us to field goal range on a miracle freaking pass to like, so like he did have the better game, but like, I don't know. Like Gronowski also had like the lower low lights of just like, but he like what he was doing, he was 12 carries for 25 yards and the touchdown, what could have been a game winning touchdown. But there were so many, I think Oregon was clearly the better team in this.
Sure.
And it was a bit frustrating, and I'm sure other Duck fans felt this way too. There were times where we were throwing the ball or trying to do a cheeky play when it was like, but our running backs are doing, we were dominating them in the run game. It did kind of, and like Hitler was saying, it was like, our O-line's having problems, but they're also just massive men. And sometimes if you just need them to lean forward and like get you some yards, they're pretty dang good at that. And shout out to specifically like Noah Whittington was playing some fearless football, just leaning forward and just like averaging 6.9 yards a touch.
Wow.
And Jordan Davison 6.5, De'Aaron Hill Jr. 6.4. So like I kind of was wondering why we weren't just really making,
well, you know what's so fascinating about that too is that I do believe last week Hithloday was like, Iowa's the team that will always give you 4 yards.
Yeah. And we were getting like,
so we were taking, yeah. So we were taking a bonus 2 off of that.
Yeah. For real. And we did have some good, like, I'm not saying we should have abandoned the throw because like it did work out, but you would think it was raining so bad too. And we're out our top, what would that be? Like at least 3 pass catchers, you know?
But also, you know, if you want to get down into the maths of all of it, right? Because we know that, I'm sure at some point statistically, they were after the first quarter, they were like, oh, we are at this point averaging 5 yards a run. So mathematically, we can always be getting those yards on the run. So we have extra plays to burn if we want to try some passing to really muck them up.
Yeah,
so I get it. I understand the theory. I'm sure there was math involved where they're like, oh, we can burn a couple and we'll always get our first downs.
And a lot of these drives, they did end with like an incompletion or a penalty. I'm down. I'm thinking about starting to do this. I usually always take the high road with refs where I'm like, you know what? Like we both kind of got away with one or like. Sure. the refs are bad, but you got to win the game in the end or something like that. I'm starting to think about just like blanket statement every week coming in here and truly living up to the bad Oregon fandom like stereotype and just being like, these refs cheap, man, they're paid off just every week.
I mean, look, you don't have to be an Oregon fan to understand that that's probably the truth in a lot of scenarios.
I mean, have you been paying attention to the NBA at all, my man?
Yeah, exactly.
Have you been hearing about what's going on over there?
I mean, I've known for a while that once you get into the NBA and you get on your team, there are unbespoken rules of like, we're losing tonight.
or at least like this player's, you know, over yeah. under or so. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But football, I'm always like, it is a harder game to rig. It really is. There's so
it's
many
not rigging games. It. It's just controlling it.
Controlling it. Yeah.
Yeah. All and, you're trying to do is keep it inside a fence line. You know, it's herding cattle. It's doable, but it's loose, but you can do it.
There were some freaking ticky tack. Fouls called on us, penalties. Mm.
I'll let you do your thing because I know of one call that they showed in the quick play.
There was one
where he was wildly out of his. It was a huge gape in the Iowa player's stance, I guess. Whenever he caught but they called it that he had caught it right at that line. And
yeah,
what?
What was in, but it was also like, is he controlling it? But also, they called a penalty on like hands under the basically, like they were saying he got his hand under the
fascinating
blocker's like helmet, and it was so clearly on his shirt, like. On his neck level, but not under his like it, yeah. That was a bullshit one. Also, there was a couple of times where the refs like were ready to not review something that was so obviously needing to be reviewed. Mm-hmm. Like there was this a crucial freaking turnover. Like there were so few possessions in this game that.
Oh, is this the fumble where they were like really quick to call the play dead and not even look the fact that maybe it was a fumble?
It was insane. They were just like, no, let's keep it going. And this is like in the third quarter, like this, they were in the red zone. It was a pretty crucial time. And it was the most obvious fumble. Like they were like, oh, you really want us to review that? I guess we can do that. And then they took forever to review it. And it was like, clear fumble, like clear as day, and then the announcers kept being like, and well, I don't know, can you possess a ball if it's in between your legs? Because if that's the case, maybe Iowa does. It's like, you can't, that does not count. And like, we ripped it out from in between his legs, like it was ridiculous. That was a clear fumble. Thank God they got that one right, because if they don't get that one right, that truly changes the chemistry of this game completely.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a few times, like, I don't even know what, I'm completely blanking. I'm an idiot too. But when the QB's just like throwing it away and it's like an illegal throw away.
Sure. Because there's not a receiver in the
area. I don't know how that exists in college, because apparently it didn't exist in this game. Because there is, again, their QB not good, and there were times where he and like our DBs excellent, because there were times where he was just like, oh, and they're holding every single one of our linemen, never got called, and there was times where they would just look around like, I'm just gonna throw this away and just like chuck it to absolutely nobody, and it never got called. And it was like that, and again, the way Iowa's built, if you get them behind the sticks, if you give them like a penalty for 5 or 10 yards, that will likely just end it. That will
they crumble.
They are not able to come back from that.
Funny.
Credit to them. There was two giant pass plays, both that ended up being on touchdown drives, where our DBs just fell asleep and just like they called the right play, or like he was able to see like, oh shit, that guy's open, and they were able to convert on that, and those were huge crucial plays for them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I mean, the most I couldn't believe it. I thought we were done. Because first, they go for two. That was the other one that took way too long for them to review. They go for two. The man does not catch it. Both of his feet are clearly out of bounds. And first, they call on the field that he caught it.
Sure.
It's like, there's a lineman right there. Like, I mean, an officiant, a ref right there. It should not be that complicated. They called it good, and then they reviewed it for 20 minutes of my goddamn life. And we're like, oh, obviously both feet are out of bounds. So they didn't get that. And so now it's like, okay, field goal wins it. And we just got to say that, well, first of all, they got a field goal that was pretty amazing. And again, this is how Iowa is saying, like, this is how we win games. Like, we're good on special teams, except for that huge fuck up they had to start off. But like, they hit a 58-yard field goal in the pouring rain.
Yeah.
And that is, I was amazed by that. And for a while I was jealous of it.
Yeah.
For the fact that we hit goddamn three field goals. Atticus Sappington
wins the game,
wins the MVP.
Yeah.
Like, Dante Moore was also pretty amazing in stretches in this, but holy shit, Atticus Sappington in a torrential downpour and freezing too, in a really hostile environment, hits three field goals. One of them 46 yards was his long, and it was like for the win. Cannot talk about more pressure than that. For there was a minute we were talking about maybe he is still a Beaver at heart. And
no.
No, because this would have been an easy one to just win away. And holy shit, man. For the win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that feels so good in college football. And maybe this is like something we should lean into a little more, is all I'm saying. Like, it's such basic bitch brain to say this, but maybe we should lean in, especially in these next couple of games where we don't know who's going to be injured, who's going to be ready to play. Maybe we should lean in on, let's run the ball down their throat. And if we have to, kick a field goal.
I mean, it's sure.
Boring, but our defense is solid, man.
Well, that's the only question I have anymore, is what amount of football is allowed to be boring? And I think we're not allowed to be boring. I do think people are in charge of being like, you have to have at least three explosive plays.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, people get bored and we don't care.
I'll tell you this too.
Coca-Cola walks if you don't do three explosive plays a game.
When you're like one of these teams, it's like we play it close. So we play our brand of football and it's defensive driven. And like,
yeah,
we're going to win in the end. Like, when you do that, then it's like, okay, well, suddenly, when you're playing a way worse team, if they get a couple lucky breaks, they could beat you.
Yep.
Like, anyone can beat you if you're going to play that level. As opposed to if you're being a little riskier or able to make big breakaway plays, then like suddenly these little things matter a little bit less, you know, as opposed to like one turnover can completely die. Like in this game, Dante Moore did throw a really bad pick, like a really bad decision. It was third and long. We were up 9-0. I think,
right.
And like, it could have been us really being like separating us, and it could have completely changed the whole complexion of this game. But, and like, it was a bad pick, but
it is funny because it seems like as soon as he had the first game where he got two interceptions, he's just kind of allowed one a game ever since then.
Not quite, but just about.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's still doing good. He's thrown like something. Picks or something.
Yeah. You have to look at how many times have you thrown it to, how many times has it been caught by your guys and not.
And the types of picks and like against two and in the moments. I mean, there was two picks in the fourth quarter against Indiana. That's rough.
Yeah.
Obviously, we wish we had that game back. in what could have been game-winning drives. Like, by the way, just pepper this in because they're not a Pac-12 team, so we won't cover it. Indiana played against Penn State, and this was at Penn State. It was one of those things where it was like, Penn State still is on that huge streak of hasn't beaten a top 25 team. And then in like forever, or top 10 team, I should say.
Okay.
And then Indiana hadn't won in Penn State, I think like ever or something like that, or forever. And it was super.
So somebody's streak is about to end.
Someone's streak was going to end, you know, and Indiana, like Penn State was able to take the lead like very late in the game. So it was like under 2 minutes. Indiana's got the ball. And this at least made me feel better because I was like, it's kind of cool. If I mean, it'd be almost better for us. I don't know what would have been better for us. I guess like Indiana would need to lose twice for us to take their spot in the Big Ten championship game.
That's not
happening, probably. I mean, like it's so slim that that happens.
Well, it sounds like they won this game then.
Oh, because they like rallied back their quarterback through some amazing passes. Shit, that's like, I can't believe he was able to get that off. I can't believe that guy caught it like to such an amazing extent. And then he throws to Cooper, I believe. He throws like it is getting down to it. The seconds are ticking down. They're in the red zone. And it's like Penn State has nearly picked it off in like a really ferocious pass rush. They're actually playing pretty good D. And he lobs up this rainbow, and this guy just barely gets his toe in. Like, it's an one of the best catches of the year.
Wow.
Barely gets his toe in. And this ref, I don't know why we didn't have this ref in any game we've ever played, because this people were calling out this ref as one of the best calls, because he's standing right there. Once the action starts happening, he moves over slightly to his right, but is still completely in, like he's out of the way, but right fucking there. And even in slow-mo, you see he's looking at the foot. He's like looking at the hands and then looking at the foot. And even though like it was hard to tell in the heat of the moment, he is like, touchdown. And then they do the review and it's like the most clear, but barely toe tap. It's just this slow-mo of just like, yeah, I'm looking at his foot, calm as a cucumber right now, and just makes the perfect call. And it's like, why couldn't we have some of these guys?
Yeah,
It was an amazing.
Well, because call. We wanted Indiana as a league. Corporate entities, like, we want Indiana to win, so he was going to call it touchdown no matter what.
He's like I wasn't even looking.
He's like, I just got paid $10,000 to call this touchdown, so here it is, touchdown.
Yeah, he's like, I was listening to what they were telling me to call. No, but so yeah, Indiana stayed undefeated. But there's other examples of like when you play it close. When you're trying to be like, okay, let's be conservative. When you don't have that killer mentality, especially late in the game, it will allow other teams with more heart to come back and beat you.
It is interesting because it does seem like for our case to be made, Penn State winning would have been the double nice thing because we beat Penn State and Penn State beat Indiana. So by... You know, by a rule of whatever. Indiana. Yeah.
Well, at least.
But then also, the two wins or the two losses for Indiana. Dang. Oh, well. Yeah,
I'm kind of at the point where it's like, it's very unlikely we're making it to the Big Ten championship game. I'm kind of like, who cares? You don't need it. Let's just make the play.
We already got it, so we don't need it again. That's fine.
Yeah, we got it the first year. It didn't do us all that much good.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's another game. Like if we just win out and make the playoffs, we'll still have a really good seed and we won't have to play. Like we'll probably have to play an additional game because we won't get that bye most likely, but we won't have to play like another game against, you know, like in the short term. So that can be good for injuries. Like, who knows? Like, overall, I'm super proud of it. Like, sure, it was ugly, but like they, like everyone says over and over, like the lazy thing, it's like we beat Iowa in their own game. For a lot of the elite teams, like Michigan, sometimes Penn State, sometimes Indiana and Ohio State, like going to Iowa and winning in a surprisingly close game is a rite of passage to be like, we are one of the best Big Ten teams. So we did it.
Especially when you're hindered by not having all your key players on the field.
Yeah. No, I mean, dude, there's few telemarketer. There are a few teams that like, okay, right now, right before you're about to go in a really hostile environment against a top 25 team, take away your right tackle, your star tight end, and your star receiver. And then also your number one receiver after that, he's going to get injured in the first quarter. Go win that game. Like,
hey, check this out. You're going to play this game with no thumbs.
Yeah. No, for dude. Yeah. And like the running game, I overall was actually happy with the offense that was called in this, considering all the things. And it felt like, like we had Dante Moore like run the ball in the perfect time, ended up being like a 40-yard run. Mm-hmm. He had to like pull up a little bit. It seems like something, maybe it was just like a cramping thing or a late.
My only thought in this was like, oh, he could have gotten another five, but I actually think so. That clip that you sent me, the promo video thing that happened afterwards,
Ducks versus them is what it's called.
Yeah, I actually think they shored him in. They were like, no, get out of here, man. Get onto the line. We don't need anything. You know, you just gained us a whole bunch of yards. Why don't you just go ahead and walk out of bounds real quick so we can keep going.
That was a crucial moment. And on that drive ended on, again, like this is more like to do with the offense, is Iowa got a really good push, and it resulted in one of our O-linemen stepping on Dante Moore's foot and so he falls down, and so it's a loss, and then we got to go for a field goal, which what could have been a touchdown.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, like this was a game that like one or two plays, we were clearly the better team, and even with the injuries, it's like we are both lines dominated. We completely shut down what they want to do, which is just run the ball. And mm-hmm. only allowed a few big plays. I love this game. It was gritty. We're going to need more like it the final three games of the regular season.
Yeah. The announcers seemed to also really love it. By the end of it, it seemed like they were like, this was great football.
I absolutely hated them. I hate how they kept calling Iuli Aioli.
Okay.
And they would just get shit wrong. They're like, I don't know. I just hated them. I absolutely hated them.
Well, you're so poo-poo pants. So
there you go. And whenever there was a bad call, they were always on the ref side. So they're clearly on the take.
Oh, two, fascinating. Right? Fascinating.
That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Yep. Aaron, let's get into the picks.
But first, a quick commercial break. And we're back on quack.
Aaron, what was different about last week's picks than what we've been doing all year?
Last week, you and I once again teamed up to take on the ever so cursed Hithloday, who every time shows up on our show ends up cursing the Ducks with bad luck. Hithla don't is what I say.
Woo! And how did our competition against him the first time go?
Pretty good, if I remember correctly.
No, he swamped us. He absolutely kicked our ass.
Look, good is a word that I used because it could have been worse, maybe.
Oh, sure. That, I mean, it could have.
For us?
With us? Yeah.
For us, we were at our ceiling, baby. We were doing good.
You may have a point there.
Are we in the attic today? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, I'll tell you this. I don't even know what to do with this. I mean, we're probably still going to need to call it the honorary Hit the Day is Always Right Pick'em Challenge or Pick the Day.
Hithla Picks
brought to you by ATQ and It Never Rains on this podcast. Not sponsored.
Now, But we only chose a few different.
That's right.
Right.
I'm gonna tell you this. In the end, we tied. A better podcast
producer would have been in our ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. A better podcast producer would have forced us to go back, see that there was an even number of differences, and forced us to change one. But we do not have a better podcast producer on the show. So we're saying it's a tie. So we're just keeping it the way it is. But Aaron, and in the bowls, maybe in the bowl challenge at the end, we'll have the tiebreaker here. Or what could be the tie. What do you mean
there was an even number of differences, and so a producer would have made us choose a different one?
Well, because we only had two picks that were different.
Sure.
I would have gone back after we made our picks and be like, okay, Aaron, let's change one of our picks so that there's three. And that way there can't be a tie.
Oh, sure. But yeah, I guess.
Ties are fun, though.
I mean, but with two differences, all it takes is for one of those to be the random upset that we get. Oh, sure. So then, I mean.
But with odd, there wouldn't have been a possibility of that.
Sure. I see what you're saying. I got it.
Aaron,
I think we did great the way we produced it.
I thought it was an interesting week. And honestly, I had to work after the game. I had to go to work, which sucked. But I was also like, I was in the mentality of like, we may lose this game. And if we lose this game, I don't want to watch any more college football. So it's not that big of a deal.
Sure.
But I did record some games, and I went back after the fact and watched some games. But to start it off, there was a Friday game, USC versus Northwestern. We all chose USC, and we all ended up being right. Well, Northwestern had moments where they were in this game. They had one of those classic, like, they were about to get into the end zone, and then it gets punched out, and it fumbles out of the end zone. So that's like one of the cruelest fates that can happen to a football team. I hate it so much.
It did second only to the pompous runner who's dropping it in and dropping it right before.
That's probably even worse.
Yeah.
Because that's just your own doing. But so USC won this 38-17. So kind of not notable. It is Northwestern. Northwestern actually with this loss, this is an even tougher one. They take this title, I believe, from Indiana, who used to have it. Northwestern becomes the most losing football team in college football.
No way.
Yep. They have the most losses in their history.
You do not want that.
That being said, they're 5-4 this season. So it's like, overall, make a bowl game, and this is
be the most losing team ever and still go to a bowl game. Congratulations.
So they stink. At one point, USC did do this fun little thing where they had their backup quarterback weeks before, they had him change his number to the punter's number, like official number, and then they went out there and he was wearing the punter's number, and instead he just threw the ball on a fake punt and they got a first down. So that's cool.
Because I guess once the helmet and everything is on, you can't really tell who's back.
They even had like the same first name, I think. So, but also they were saying that's actually illegal. You're not allowed to do that. But
I was about to say, that seems like, well, why doesn't everybody just have two jerseys with different numbers then? So we can always just be changing things.
Apparently that's illegal, but they didn't call it. So, hey, there you go.
That's football.
So USC pretty dominant. Our game against them in a couple weeks is going to be absolutely huge. Now I'm starting to lean like that could be probably the hardest game of the season, but it's at Autzen. I mean, remaining, but it's at Autzen. So we'll see what happens. Then it was Colorado, West Virginia. Aaron, this is where your love of the Buff Men really bit us in the butt. If we were to call this one. So West Virginia is also
phrasing.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Those Buff Men bit us on the butt.
They bit us on the buff. West Virginia also bad, but they were able to get their first get basically winning streak of the season because they won last week and they beat the Buffs this week.
Dang.
This was and West Virginia, they didn't even have they had to make a linebacker a running back in this game because they were out of running backs. And he's like, I used to play running back in high school. And so he did. And he got two touchdowns. So that's
wow.
Ended up winning 29-22. Colorado was able to rally back at the end, but had to do an onside kick. And it was just nothing. And didn't get it. They stink.
Dang.
Colorado is bad and probably will not win another game this season.
Wow.
But we love them, don't we, folks? Then it was Arizona. Huge, very neck and neck race for the Big 12, which makes it exciting. Big 12 has been an exciting conference in general over the last couple of years, not in quality wise, but just in, hey, look how all close these teams are.
At the end of the season.
Arizona took on Kansas, the Jayhawks. That's right. And they do end up, they went down early, but they were able to rally back. Noah Fifita, he almost threw a bunch of picks, but instead wins them this game. Mainly they ran it by getting a couple scores on the ground. Kansas choked hard. Kansas is bad. Arizona's got a really big game next week against Cincinnati. We'll pick that in a bit. Then came this game, Aaron. I loved this game so much. I watched the bitter end of it, and I couldn't have been happier. So, Wisconsin, we played them a couple weeks ago. They were bad, yes?
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
They were pretty freaking bad. Specifically on offense, they were a non-factor. We allowed their first touchdown in, multiple weeks. Which was kind of sad for us, but still. And they were garbage time, of course.
Garbage time.
So they took on Washington. This was the Battle of the UW's. Washington went on the road to play Wisconsin. Though there weren't a ton of people there in Camp Randall. They've had a really tough season. So not many people were showing up. Not only that, Danny O'Neill, who was supposed to be their starting quarterback, who hadn't played since mid-September, he came back into this game. He's like, okay, well, at least they got a quarterback. Maybe their passing game will be better. He gets injured and carted off, I believe, pretty early in this one. So it's like, oh, shit. I'll tell you this. Wisconsin finished this game with 48 passing yards. 24 of those passing yards, so half of them, came from their punter, who they had a trick punt and they threw it for a first down, which is pretty sweet. Overall, they had barely over 200 yards of offense, but I'll tell you this, it was enough to beat the Washington Huskies.
Wow.
Were ranked. Finally, they were, because people were being like, they only have two losses. One of them was to the Ohio State, the number one team in the country. So, Washington's actually looking like a pretty good team. We should rank them. They were ranked number 23 in this game, and it was a hideous game. Wisconsin was able to just, on offense, they did goddamn nothing. But if you let them stick around, if you let any team stick around for long enough, then, and if they've got the heart and the gumption, we should say Luke Fickell, their quarterback, it kind of looked like, are we going to fire this guy? But the powers that be decided, instead, we're actually going to give him an extension. We want him to be around. We're going to ride through this really rough spot with him. Apparently, the defense for Wisconsin were like, we like our coach. Yeah, we suck, but we want him to stick around. We want to play for him. And so this was a huge win for them, momentum feeling.
So that means the Huskies did nothing the whole game.
They got a field goal, and then they did get one big touchdown. But then in the second half, absolutely freaking nothing. And they had plenty of opportunities to like try to win this game. But Damon Williams, like he was 20 of 32 for 134 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. They were doo-doo. They were bad. They got 117 yards on the ground. To Wisconsin's credit, like they were the same team that like Oregon played, which they held up 21 points, so power to them. Like they're a defense only team. But it was enough. It was enough in this game. And so that was great. You'll have to see the Washington Huskies upset. We both chose Washington, so Hitladay and us. So
well, at that time, though, we also thought that they were going to be a pretty tough component for us at the end of the season, and now it sounds like maybe that's not true.
I mean, they still could be. Like, again, if we're injured and we're playing this game close, like, I still like their QB. I still like Jonah Coleman. They got at least one good Boston seems to be good receiver. Like, so, like, they got – if it's close, who knows? It's a rivalry game, and they'll be at home, but – I mean, that was a pretty bad look for them. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's a bad look.
We'll probably be at least favored in that game for whatever that's worth. After that, UNC Unk versus Stanford, a team of the game of the terribles, I would say. Both terrible. It was a one score game in the end. UNC wins it, which we 3-0. There was no reason to watch this. Like both these teams freaking blow. They decided to start like a freshman QB at Stanford, and he got sacked 9 times.
I mean, if you're getting those sacks, it's a great game.
Yeah. Well, it actually says something. Like the final score was 20-15. And the fact that Elijah Brown was sacked 9 times, yet still had an opportunity like to win this game. That is just bad for both teams. Like
crazy stat. Crazy
they both suck. Yeah. Then here is another. Like here's some of these fun games, dude. Cal versus Laurelville. As we were saying, Laurelville was heavily favored. Because Miller Moss had this team, they were ranked number 15. They only lost one game this season. They were in the driver's seat for the ACC championship. But Cal. And then,
oh, boy.
Cal comes in here with their QB, who we love, Jaron Kiave-Sanga-Palutele.
And all right, the next great hope.
The next great hope. And he had a great game. It was all on him, it felt like. All on him and his favorite go-to receiver, Jacob De Jesus, who lived up to his name. He had 16 receptions, 158 yards, and the game-winning touchdown. This game did go – it was very competitive. Did go into overtime. And what do you think about this, Aaron? I loved this. So they held Louisville to a field goal in the first overtime. And – they get into like fourth and goal. I think it's like fourth and four to go. And so they could have gone for the field goal to tie it. A lot of teams would have.
Right.
But Cal on the first overtime decides, you know what? Win or lose, it's coming down to this fucking play.
They're like, we are tired of being here. We're tired of being here.
Sometimes it really is smart in overtime to be like, if you have the opportunity to be like, or if it's in regulation to be like, this play, we're this close to the end zone. Is it really going to get easier than right now?
Right.
And they took the shot, quick little pass to Jesus, who had been doing amazing, and like, just give it to your best player who's been doing great, gets in the end zone. They get the upset win. They fucking do it, dude.
Wow. I thought you were setting this up for... No, he didn't. He didn't catch it.
He fucking got it. It could have gone either way, but like, it's like, in the end, it's like, you know what? We're 4 yards away. If we win this, if we get in the end zone, we win. We could fucking tie it, but who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. Also, it's like, Our best player is the QB. Second best player right now is that receiver. Get that QB to throw that to that receiver.
Yeah, exactly. It's been working all day. Let's just do it again.
That's exactly what it was, and it fucking worked, and it's awesome. And it throws the whole ACC conference into complete chaos because it's just like there's so many teams with either one or two losses, conference losses. Miami only has two conference losses, but are essentially out of it, which is pretty crazy.
Amazing.
Duke is the disaster scenario for this conference, because if Duke were to win the whole thing, which they totally could if they just keep winning, they have four losses in general, but they only have like
crazy big numbers.
Yeah. So if they were to be the ACC champion winner with four conference losses, it is very possible that they're like, you know what? We don't need an ACC team in the playoffs, which would be crazy. It's possible.
They can choose that.
Because it's
assume the winner of every conference is at least insured a spot.
You would think so, but it's really the five highest ranking conferences.
Wow.
They get in.
Wow.
And then they look things over.
Dang.
So pretty fun. Gotta love it.
That's gonna be terrible for their business.
Oh, yes.
Brands are gonna be like, yes. You didn't even make it to the playoffs this year.
And it's very funny too, because it's like their frantic move was like, Cal and Stanford, the team on the West Coast. You join the Atlantic Coast Conference. This makes sense. This will help us. Stanford fucking blows.
Yeah.
And then Cal comes in, is not great, but upsets their best opportunity to get in there. So you gotta love it. And Cal is a blowable team.
This is at the beginning in the off season. Coca-Cola is going to have a meeting with the ACC, and they're going to be like, you know, we think you're just more of a Pepsi brand now.
Exactly.
We don't know that we need to be here.
Exactly. Dr. Pepper is actually more in the college football game than Coca-Cola is there, but Dr. Pepper seems to be in and out.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. Dr. Pepper loves them some college football.
Well, Texas based, baby.
Mm-hmm. Louisville out. Or we got it wrong. They're not out. They're still in it. But and then there was Nebraska UCLA. This game was late. I should say this, by the way. The last ranked team that Cal beat. You want to take a guess?
The last ranked team that Cal beat. Do I want to take a guess?
It's been a long time.
Been a long time. Alabama.
Nope. Of course it was the Oregon Ducks.
Oh, dang it.
It's another one of those classic examples of Mario Cristobal sucking.
When you're good at something, you do it wherever you go. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nebraska, UCLA. I don't got much to say about this besides this is the one we chose right. We chose the bug eaters, the Huskers, and we got it right. It was good. UCLA did rally back, but they're basically backup now starting quarterback who's from that area, lived right next to UCLA. He came in, scored four touchdowns in his first four drives. That was the difference. UCLA was not able to rally back fully. Plus, I'm sure there was more passionate Nebraska fans than UCLA fans in those stands because they travel. So credit to Nebraska. They get the win, which is pretty cool. And it made it so we didn't lose to HIF today, which you got to love that. Now we're getting to the game I really want to talk about. This was I couldn't give a shit about all these other games. I mean, U of O, we all chose U of O to win and they won. Aaron, Oregon State coming off a huge win. It really felt like they turned the corner because it looked like they were going to go 0-12 for a minute. But they beat Lafayette. That was a huge game. They had a quarterback change. Suddenly they won 45-13. Nothing was a gimme either. So that was pretty huge, even though Lafayette's a lower division, lower division team. Then Oregon State at home beats Wazoo in a conference game that wasn't a conference game. But Wazoo is a much more respectable team on paper, and they beat them 10-7. Like, it was ugly, but they beat them. It felt like a huge turning point for the Beavers. Then up next is you. You told us a little history of this team, Sam Houston. Can you tell us that history again? Just a little reminder.
Well, I might be wrong though. So no.
Okay. No. Okay.
I'm pretty sure I was actually thinking about it afterwards. I was like, were all those facts correct?
Well, that's fine. Sam Houston, right. I'll tell you a fact that is correct. Sam Houston came into this game 0-8.
Yuck.
Like, they were winless in this game. And were not competitive in the large majority of their games. And again, like, as far as Sam, like, I need to look up Sam Houston conference, because I couldn't even tell you. They're in the USA conference. USA.
How could you ever forget?
Yeah, exactly. Which I want to look up the standings. Obviously, they're in the very bottom of those standings because they suck and they hadn't won a single game. But yeah, they absolutely blow. But they're in the conferences like Liberty, New Mexico State, others.
And that's literally the other. That's one of the teams, others.
Yeah, Western Kentucky. Yeah, others, one of the best teams in that conference. FIU. Like, they're not in a very good conference either. 0-8, and they were this was in fucking the Potato Palace. This is at Reser Stadium. Oregon State, they actually dominated. They go up 17-0. It looked like things are completely over. I will say, Oregon State, they, like, 17 points ain't much to score against this team. Also, the special teams has been rough. Like, they fired their special teams coordinator, I think, before their coach, even, if I remember correctly. And their special teams were always really rough. At one point, so they get a pick. I'll tell you this. Sam Houston gets a pick right before the half. Sam Houston, to their credit, so their quarterback, Mabry Mature, I want to say that's his name. God bless him. He had no help. Like, his O-line stunk. The people he was throwing to stunk. He threw for 85 yards in this game. He did have one touchdown, because right before the half, he just had a real moment of just like, yeah, fuck it, and threw it for 43, just a bomb, 43 yards. He's like, there's one guy on that receiver. Maybe I'll get it. And they got it. Like, it was a 43-yard touchdown pass.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, 17. Like, there's some hope. Let's see what happens. Then, to start the second half, again, Beavs really bad on special teams. They kick the ball, and there's penalties on both sides. And so they go like, all right, like, re-kick, which you don't see a re-kick very often. So they re-kick the ball, and I should say, like, there was a missed field goal by the Beavs to end the first half even. So they re-kick the ball, Oregon State does. And my man for what is his name? I don't need to really know any of these names, but Burns, we'll just call him Burns, burned the Beavers for a 98-yard touchdown return. So suddenly it's like, okay, we've got a winless Sam Houston in fucking Conference USA. Suddenly it is a 3-point game. Early in the third quarter, Beavs next drive missed field goal, and again, though, Sam Houston is not able to do jack shit on offense. Like, that is like, this quarterback is trying everything and he looks so bad. To start the fourth quarter, it's still like a 3-point game. unfortunate. Like, there's a 14-play drive for 55 yards. Then misses the field goal. Could have been a game-tying field goal. Then it's punt, punt, punt. At one point, Beavs get the ball, and it's fourth and three. They get stopped, so they turn the ball over on downs. Again, now Sam Houston has it. This is the fourth quarter. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds. They have to punt, and you know they really didn't want to. It's just, again, their offense is nothing. Mm-hmm. But if you let a team stick around, even if they're negative on offense, things are going to get a little sketchy. So then Beavs get the ball. They are moving it at least. They're at the Sam Houston 36. Like, they've only got a 3-point lead. Johnson, who again, like, because Malik Murphy, he's been benched, I believe. Maybe he was injured. Who cares? It kind of doesn't matter when you've played so bad as he did. But Johnson, he throws a pick, which gets returned for 24 yards. So suddenly Sam Houston's like, okay, we're down by three. There's like under 2 minutes left. It's – oh, wait. Hold on. Where is it? This is lying to me. Where the hell was it? Sorry. Oh, that's right. That's right. It's hard to remember all this shit. So eventually. Yeah. So the Beavs, they're like, okay, we gotta punt this ball. Like, yeah. It's just fucking done. Like, and so they go for the punt, gets blocked. And returned by Sam Houston for a score. So they've got the lead now, and the pressure is completely on the Beavs. And they try to go march down the field. Doesn't work out for them. That's when they get the pick. That's right. Because the punt is blocked. So now we got the lead. The Beavers try to march down the field. They get picked off. And so now Sam Houston just has to, like, get one first down and they win the game. Their offense is so terrible, it gets picked. There's a minute 23 left. This is at, like, the Sam Houston, like, 37-yard line. So now it's like, Beavs, you got the ball. You're only down by 4 points. But this is a terrible team. This is a winless team, mind you. It goes down to it, and turnover on downs. Sam Houston actually is able to stop them. And so for their first fucking win of the season,
wow, Sam Houston
beats the Beavers.
Like, so that, what is the Beavers then? They are now one win or still two? Do they have two?
2-8. I wish they were 1-9. That would be a better storyline.
Yeah.
But, dude, they truly have a case, I believe, for, even though they have two wins, for being the worst team in the country. Because you just lost to a team that, even with everything bad that's happened to the Beavers, you still have a big ass advantage,
yeah,
over this 0-8,
mm-hmm,
like, group of whatever team. And you lose to them at home.
Boy. Dude.
Home.
Well, look, I mean, it's a bummer when the place you have to play creates a food product that is absolutely terrible.
You think it's the potato salad that did it?
I know it is. That mac and cheese they make, yuck, their coleslaw,
yeah. Yeah, it's especially bad.
They're but wild it's over
truly
there.
Truly an amazingly bad loss.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Gotta love it. And I was thinking this. So, in my opinion, Oregon State is the worst team in the country.
Sure.
Because it doesn't matter that you have more wins. One of your losses is to, again, an 0-8. And if you were watching it, Sam Houston was not playing the best game they've played this season. They were playing the regular game. Like, their offense was so bad.
It's not like they lit on fire for, you know, angels in the end zone type vibe.
Their special teams was amazing. Like, it goes to show you, dude, sometimes these special teams is what matters. And you cannot let a team just hang around.
Right.
Like, Wisconsin and Sam Houston proved, like, even a team that is absolutely terrible, if it's close in the fourth quarter, it takes one play, baby. Yeah. And so power to Sam Houston. That is fucking amazing, honestly. But I was thinking this scenario really made me laugh. I think Oregon State's the worst team in the country. They just lost to a winless team, you know, this far. And hopefully, honestly, for the lols, hopefully Oregon State loses their next game, which they probably will. And then at the end of the season, it'll just be against Wazoo. And they'll be right on the road against Wazoo. And if they beat Wazoo, they'll have a 3-9 record. I still think they'll be the worst team in the country. But at that point, couldn't you argue Wazoo is the worst team in the country? Because if you're saying the Beavs are the worst, but they beat one team twice in the regular season,
that's where their second
win.
That team
has to be the worst team.
See, I think it would be funnier if Oregon State lost the second game to Wazoo, so that way their conference record becomes 1-1. Or no, it actually just become
0-1.
Yeah. So it would hold true to the fact that they are the worst team in football.
The worst team in football. And like,
but it would also be funny to be the worst team in football with a 1-0 conference record.
That would be funny too.
That's funny too. There's no wrong way to write this story. So no, that's good. No. Yeah.
It's like, even with everything that happened with the Pac-12 and with your coach and everything, it's like, you should still beat Sam Houston, dude. That is on you. That's on the players. That's
maybe you, the Pac-2 should invite Sam Houston into the fold because they can spice it up a little bit.
I guess. I guess. So last we left off in our own little personal competition.
Right. You were up by two or three?
Three. I have 50 points. You have 47 points.
Dang.
Let's get into these picks.
Let's do it.
I believe we have a few teams not playing. It looks like Colorado, I know, won't be playing. It looks like Stanford is out right now. And then I want to say Cal. The Bay Areas and Colorado will not be playing, but we got 9 games coming up in the Pac-12.
And to be fair, though, have any of those teams actually shown up to a game yet?
Hey, Cal did. Cal did. Yeah,
that's right. They did.
Can't say that about them now.
Dang.
So first game of the week will be Oregon, Minnesota. We'll save that, but that will be Friday, 6 p.m. on Fox.
Weird.
After that,
night game, weird on a Friday, weirder.
Yep. After that will be Arizona, Cincinnati. Now, Arizona, Cincinnati is in control of their own destiny for this very competitive Big 12 game. Arizona probably can't get there. It'd be crazy, but they're 6-3. Cincinnati 7-2. Cincinnati is at home. My first pick, I'll just tell you right off the bat, I think Cincinnati's winning this.
Really?
Big yawn. Yeah, I think since they're just the more reliable team, and Arizona, even in their wins, hasn't looked especially good. So I'm going with Cincinnati.
I'm going to go with Arizona.
Oh, Aaron. Could happen. You need to catch up. So makes sense.
Cincinnati.
Then losers. After that, my friend, we have Arizona State at home takes on West Virginia. West Virginia, yes, they are bad. They did just beat Colorado.
Yes.
Arizona State 6-3, bowl eligible at least, I believe, are still somewhat in the race for Big 12, though very, very, very unlikely. I think the home field advantage, they're just the better team. ASU, baby.
Yeah, I agree.
There we go. We love our Kenny Dillingham, don't we, folks?
Kenny D.
Kenny D. After that, in the Pac-12, we have... This will be interesting. USC at home takes on the very same Iowa team that we just saw.
Which is tough for me because I didn't see them really, and it was raining. So what does that mean?
Yeah, we know what Iowa's going to do on offense, which is not that much. But we know that they're going to be the team that they always are. They're not at home, but USC never has a great home field advantage. They are 7-2. They're ranked top 25 team. They're probably like 19 or something by now. So this will be interesting. I could see Iowa getting the upset. It'd be better for us for USC to win because we play them the week after. I'm going to go with USC just because they have more ways to win this, but I would not be shocked at all if Iowa stole it. What about you, my friend?
Tough one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I will go with Iowa.
Hey.
To keep it spicy.
Spicy. Now, here we go. We got Utah Baylor. Utah's looking real good. 7-2, number 13 in the country. Baylor 5-4. Utah will be on the road, but this is a game they really need to win if they want their Big 12 championship hopes to remain alive. And so I'm going with the Utes.
Yeah, tough call, right? Do I go with the Utes or do I go with the Wackos from Waco?
Wackos from Waco.
I'm gonna...
Don't get too cocky.
I'm gonna go with Baylor. I think them Bears got this.
I think you just busted your picks this week, my friend.
No.
Now we also got Purdue, who's probably they're fighting for it. The worst team in the Big Ten. They're 2-8, coming off an ass kicking thanks to Ohio State. They are taking on the recently losing Washington Huskies. They are 6-3 and they're really good at home. They have been that way ever since Jed Fish has been there. 6-3 at home, worst team in the Big Ten, Purdue. I do think the Huskies, unfortunately, will win this, though it'll be very funny if they don't.
I would like to change my previous answer.
Oh.
To the Utah? Team you yeah, to Utah.
Okay.
No, I'm keeping Baylor. Okay. I'm also going to go with the Huskies getting upset at home.
Oh. Something blowing up your shit, dude.
I don't think so, man. Something about today and right now and these picks, the fact that we're playing on a Friday, everything's so weird. So I'm going real weird.
You're blowing up your shit, man.
I don't think so. I think Purdue does.
Well, if you want a real upset, I got one for you.
Okay.
UCLA is on the road where they have not been good this year.
Right.
They're 3-6. Oof. If they want to go to a bowl game,
they need everything.
The next three, which will be very tough considering their next opponent is number one Ohio State in the horseshoe. Yeah. I'm going with Ohio State.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts on facts. Unrefutable.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. Very cool if UCLA beat them. It'd
be really random.
It'd be random as fuck. And honestly, I would, at that point, you just got to keep that coaching staff. It's like, hey, you know what? It's working. Something's happening. Yeah, I think we're in agreement there. Then Louisiana Tech, 5-4 Louisiana Tech, takes on 4-5 Washington State. Wazoo, I want them to win because I want that last game to be even funnier when they lose to Oregon State. So I'm going Wazoo will be at home.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's let them have it then. Let's live it. Let's let Wazoo have it at home.
Absolutely. Let them have it. Let them have it. I believe they're coming off a bye as well. And then, is that it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Am I crazy? Am I missing someone?
Buffman are off. Arizona. Stanford is off. Oregon State, Wazoo, Huskies, UCLA, USC.
I mean, I guess I got everyone here.
I think you got everyone. Both of the Arizonas got spoken about.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's choose the final one. Oregon versus Minnesota. I'll tell you, Minnesota. They're basically led by their QB Lindsey, who's been good, but he's not like a world beater. He's still young. They're more of a defensive team, but it's more like pretty good defense, pretty good special teams, pretty good offense. They've been terrible on the road. They got blown out by Iowa, blown out by Ohio State. They will be in Austin. Even with our injuries, we're still the more talented team. But Minnesota is a well-coached team. PJ Fleck, for a minute, we were thinking about hiring PJ Fleck. If you remember, row the boat, he said. He's been in Minnesota ever since then.
Right.
Since we started this podcast in 2017. We'll be heavily favored. I think the Ducks are going to win this one.
Yes, facts. Oregon Ducks all the day.
Absolutely. Oregon Ducks, which leads us to make our final predictions here. By the way, I didn't see, my prediction was there's going to be at least 3 Duck jerseys in the hospital when they wave to the kids. Nope, there were none.
I did see through the window of my partner's social media landscape that there was, in fact, a male nurse doing a dance with an I love you supreme leader coach Dan Lanning.
Oh.
But my super specific is correct. Just kidding. I strongly doubt that mine was right either.
But you can't prove it otherwise.
That's right. You can't.
But super specific predictions for this game, Oregon, Minnesota. I think because of the row the boat situation, I think mainly so, the Oregon Duck will come out. This will be like sometime probably right before the second half starts. The Oregon Duck will be in a kayak or canoe. I don't really know the difference. Whatever the smaller one is. He'll be in it, and he'll have some paddles, and he'll be rowing it. And about 8 cheerleaders will be holding on to the kayak, and it'll be looking like he's going down a river, the duck is, because they're going to be carrying the kayak. And that'll be making fun of the row the boat, PJ Fleck says. I don't even know if he says that anymore. I think that was the old Western Michigan mantra. But I think that will be poked fun of in that very specific way.
And I think we will have scoring plays on our first 2 offensive plays.
Ooh, kind of like what we did against Oklahoma State.
Probably. I don't remember that far back in the past.
Yeah. Who remembers that?
It was such a bad, I mean, it was such a bad team. It seems like you could tell me we did anything. I'd be like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Well, there we have it. Folks, please go over to Quack 12 Apple Podcast. Leave us a review like our dear friend did at the beginning. We'll read it on the show. We love you. And hopefully we'll love you a lot more if we win next week.
We're gonna 6 p.m. Fox.
Quack, quack.
Quack, quack.
Quack.